the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Johan Steinberg was arrested by Brazilian military police on the 29th of December 2021, just before New Year, bringing to an end a year-long hunt for the fugitive behind Mirror Trading International, or MTI. According to the Hawks, his arrest in Brazil is in relation to cases that were brought in Brazil by the FBI for suspected crimes against U.S. citizens. The FBI is also known to take on cases where U.S. dollars are involved. All of this poses a number of interesting questions. Will Steinberg end up being extradited to the United States? And once the FBI have recovered Bitcoin belonging to U.S. citizens, will it keep the rest? To help us unravel this, we're joined by attorney and crypto specialist Darren Hanekom. First of all, welcome, Darren, to our inaugural crypto podcast for 2022.
Thank you, Kieran. Thanks for having us.
Okay, let's get into this. Johan Steinberg was arrested in Brazil on a warrant apparently issued by the FBI and executed by the Brazilian police. Can you walk us through the ramifications of this from a South African point of view? How does this come about and where is South Africa featuring in this picture?
Well, this is certainly an interesting start to the year and definitely means that the South African government also has some work to do to really ensure that the investors who have allegedly been defrauded through the MTI company is made whole again. So from a South African perspective, one really needs to appreciate that this is a sort of multifaceted, multi-jurisdictional matter that it now involves quite a few role players. And the role players is the South African government, being the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, who'd ordinarily work alongside the South African National Prosecuting Authority, who would then coordinate efforts through the diplomatic channels with the said state that the individual is in. Obviously, the Brazilian authorities play a key role in this right now, more particularly the Brazilian government, as well as the Supreme Court as it relates to extradition matters. But interestingly, there is another role player, and that is the United States government. And they also have a key role to play in this matter, especially since from what we've told and from what we know, is that he's been arrested under the auspices of a warrant of arrest originating from the United States and not South Africa. So what would effectively need to happen is a joint effort by all three countries in bringing Mr. Steinberg to book.
Okay, there's a saying in crypto, not your keys, not your crypto. In other words, you have to control the key to your crypto wallet or you can lose the lot. It's rather like having your bank account password. If you don't have that, whoever's in possession of that password can take all your money. In this case, he who owns Steinberg may end up owning the Bitcoin under his control. And in this case, it could be the United States. Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very well-known saying, at least in the crypto community, not your keys, not your coins. And right now, at the onset, that phrase was largely on the back of, you know, some massive security breaches or other exchanges, you know, as far back as the exchange Mt. Gox. I think that is where that term largely originated from. And it really goes along the lines of when you make use of a centralized exchange or an exchange with a custodial function. There are many benefits to that because it also means that people who are new to the industry, they don't have to worry about storing keys or remembering mnemonic phrases or losing their keys or having their keys compromised in some way or another. So it does fulfill a good function, at least from a centralized exchange point of view. There's obviously decentralized exchanges which make use of various browser wallets, etc. But in cases of like or similar to this, one can see that if the custodians are compromised, it really leaves the clients exposed. So we don't know as to how the Bitcoins were stored. We don't know where it was stored and whether it is currently even still held in the form of Bitcoin. But centralized exchanges do unfortunately have that sort of gap in the system where if there are bad actors in control, that it does or could result in a situation that many of the MTI investors currently find themselves in.
It's probably worth just summarizing what Mirror Trading International actually was and is. It's a company that is currently in final liquidation. But it, of course, it really came to public prominence in 2019, 2020, and it was offering investors returns of up to 10% a month, but you had to send them Bitcoin to addresses which were controlled by MTI or by Johann Steinberg personally, it now seems. And that the FSCA, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, in August of, I think it was 2019, came out with a notice advising people to get their money out, that this was likely a scam. But in actual fact, MTI, using pretty aggressive marketing methods, increased the number of people and increased the number of Bitcoin under its control in the subsequent months until it all collapsed. And Johann Steinberg fled South Africa in December of 2020 when people's requests for withdrawals went unanswered. So that's kind of the background. But if we can just pick up the process from here, Darren, we know that he's in custody in the United States. It must have been a terrible New Year for Johann Steinberg. He spent New Year's Eve in a Brazilian prison, which I'm sure is no walk in the park. But what is the process from here? How long will it take before Steinberg is extradited? And is he likely to end up in the U.S. before he ends up in South Africa? How's this likely to play out?
Well, right now, what needs to happen is, like I mentioned, is the process of governments cooperating in executing the relevant legislation relating to extradition. So the first question then is, does South Africa have any mutual legal assistance treaties with Brazil? As it stands, there is an agreement between South Africa and Brazil. However, that agreement is unsigned. What we do know is that Brazil does have an agreement relating to mutual legal assistance with the United States. So ordinarily, what happens is that the requesting state, in the presence of a mutual legal assistance treaty, would, under two circumstances, launch an extradition request. If it's urgent, they could launch what's called a provisional request for the arrest of the alleged fugitive. And if that person is arrested, there are timelines in play when there is an extradition agreement in place. And the timelines really relate to the amount of time that the alleged fugitive can be held in custody. So right now, the formal request sets a timeline of 90 days, and that's between the United States and Brazil, that he can be in Brazilian custody for a period of no longer than 90 days. And during that time, a few things needs to happen. One, either a bail hearing together with extradition hearing, and the Brazilian Supreme Court would be the authority exercising its discretion as to whether this individual should be extradited to the requesting state. And if the extradition process is successful, the alleged fugitive then needs to be returned or extradited to the requesting state within 60 days. So those are the prescribed timelines in play. And if a provisional request is actioned and a formal request does not follow, it then means that the alleged fugitive needs to be released. But from what we can discern from media releases is that he was arrested for carrying and being in possession of falsified travel documents relating to passports. And I think there's also mention of credit cards. So what we can also draw from that is that could very well be an offense in Brazil as well, which also then in turn means that the Brazilian authorities could equally take a decision not to extradite him and prosecute Mr. Steinberg in Brazil. And there's a few factors that also relate to his time in Brazil. And that's also whether he could be released on bail and be released into his own custody. And certain factors will most likely play against him, especially if he was arrested for falsified travel documents. He could very well be regarded as a flight risk, which makes the prospects of bail quite difficult.
There's another case involving a South African who goes by the name of Fluffy Pony, who was involved in the Monero privacy cryptocurrency. Monero, for people who are not familiar, this is a completely anonymous cryptocurrency. It's attracted a lot of interest, negative interest, should I say, from regulators and authorities around the world because of that. So, you know, you own Monero and it's very easy to hide the identity of the person who owns it. Fluffy Pony was arrested in Tennessee. This was late last year or towards the middle, late end of last year, on a warrant relating to a claim that he had an unpaid bill in South Africa. Now, so far, he successfully fought any attempt to extradite him back to South Africa, and you were involved in that case. Can you tell us a bit about that case?
Yes, so we have been mandated by Mr. Spagni, and what we can say is that the case is still ongoing. So unfortunately, we aren't at liberty to divulge much more than that at this particular stage.
But the point is there is a request for extradition to South Africa. And so far, he's been released from custody in Tennessee into his own, I don't know exactly what the term is, into his own custody. And he remains, he's definitely not in South Africa, correct?
Yes, I mean, there's many different role players in that particular matter, being the South African government together with the United States government. So, yeah, there's quite a few moving parts in that. But, I mean, we are confident that we will reach a speedy resolution.
Right. And you are representing Fluffy Pony. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Just going back to the Steinberg case, well, what is rather strange about this is that he was put on a watch list as a potential flight risk in late 2020. This was after the FSCA, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, had investigated MTI and found it was making bogus claims that you could earn up to 10% a month, as I mentioned earlier. Now, despite that, Johan Steinberg still managed to flee the country. What lessons can we learn about this? I mean, what's the point of being on a flight risk if you can just walk out of the country and your passport doesn't get flagged at Jan Smuts or wherever, whatever border post you exit through?
Yeah, I mean, there's many, I suppose, moving parts to what authorities could have or should have done. And one also needs to look at what the global sort of standard is for situations similar to that. And we know that the Financial Action Task Force, also known as FATF, has taken a rather grim approach to South Africa's ability to actually enforce its available legislative provisions in accordance to its current risk profile. So one also needs to appreciate that it's always difficult to retrospectively look at what could have been done. But we also need to understand that I don't suspect that Mr. Steinberg was a fugitive or at least declared as a fugitive at the time. And I can't imagine that he would have been able to leave the country had there been authorized issued warrant for his arrest. So in the absence of a warrant of arrest, he was not a fugitive and therefore not barred from leaving the country.
You and I spoke a few months ago about Steinberg possibly, not possibly fleeing the country after he actually did flee the country with so much Bitcoin under his control. It's reckoned that roughly about 20 billion rands worth of Bitcoin passed through MTI over a period of time. Now, whatever is left is certainly a substantial amount of money. So we were talking about Steinberg. He should be able to buy himself a lot of privacy, a lot of anonymity for that money. But I guess he got careless. How do you imagine he slipped up?
So right now, what we can also speculate, and I mean, this is all speculative, is that what we can appreciate is that we will now know exactly, or at least in time, we will know what transpired since he left the country, where he was, what happened with the Bitcoins, where he spent it, what he was spending it on, who he was with, who he was working alongside, and what institutions facilitated his sort of disappearance into the ether. Because it's unlikely that he did this by himself. That this was a one-man effort. This was potentially a coordinated and well thought-out plan, where somewhere along the lines, as you said, potentially he got careless. And we also don't know the facts surrounding, you know, his sort of movement and what international authorities already know from what we can speculate is that usually in matters similar to this, we see that foreign governments most likely knew exactly where he was and could have been watching him for some time. But what we do know is that when he was arrested, definitely prompted and the warrant of arrest based on the falsified documents. So somewhere along the lines, he was able to obtain these falsified documents. And there must have been a means by which he paid for these things. And he was certainly going somewhere to do something. And, I mean, we don't know what his lifestyle was like, where he was going and what awaited for him there. So, I mean, I'm sure those sort of facts and that sort of narrative will certainly unfold in time.
There was a video from Brazilian TV over the weekend that I think it was reposted by Sherry Marks, who was MTI's marketing executive. The video itself is talking about Johan having a private jet and luxury cars, and he had a new girlfriend in Brazil with a claim that he had abandoned his wife and daughter in South Africa. Now, this, of course, is per the reports which are coming out of Brazil. It seems to be where he slipped up. You know, he had this girlfriend and he was maybe trying to impress her, and she didn't want to live this anonymous lifestyle, and he put her up in a hotel. If true, what does this tell us about Steinberg and his quest to find a new life for himself? He clearly, there's plenty of videos on YouTube, you know, how to disappear. And one of the first things they tell you is, you know, you don't contact the people that you used to know, because all of those communications, all those communication channels are going to be monitored. So where do you think he, you know, he made his big mistake?
Well, what I think is, I mean, it's possible that there was a certain amount of confidence that he might have had being out of the country for such an extended period of time. There's no doubt that he was following the news as well as following the movements and developments in South Africa. And perhaps he got bored. Perhaps he wanted to see, and perhaps laying low wasn't something that wasn't a life that he wanted to live for the next 25 or so years. And, you know, the thing about matters of this nature, when people do disappear, I mean, they have to, as you said, I mean, have to watch over their backs, and they have to live a life which is substantially different from their last, especially his fairly public life. And that's quite an adjustment. And perhaps along the way, that's not something that he wanted to pursue. And he got confident and he got caught.
Right. And Sherry Marks is saying that, you know, he slipped the country. It was all part of a pre-planned exit for himself, and that he was going to leave the people who were his loyal lieutenants, if you want to put it that way, that was going to leave them in the lurch and them to carry the can, which I think is true. They have had to answer a lot of the questions. They've had to appear before the Section 417 inquiries. These are inquiries in terms of the Companies Act, when a company is liquidated, to find out what happened to the money. Do you think there's some people who would be nervous now that he might be coming back to South Africa? He's got nothing to lose. He's going to spill the beans. You think there's going to be some people running for cover?
Most likely. I mean, he was definitely portrayed as this rogue CEO, this pariah of a person that concocted this devious plan to basically exit scam and rug pull his dusted clients. But the road ahead, we suspect, is a long one, especially given the international nature of this matter, in that rightfully, we believe South African MTI investors should be confident. However, they should also be cautiously optimistic when it comes to having him back in the country, because invariably what could result is if the South African government sits as a passive bystander, you could very well see Mr. Steinberg extradited to the United States and then prosecuted in the United States. And South Africa will need to, as a country, to trigger the mutual legal assistance treaty provisions that it has with the United States to actually trigger restitution for South African investors. So, I mean, that is also what's required going forward. Whether the South African government does something now or whether it does something later, action is required, at least in order to assist the good work that the current liquidators are doing in South Africa.
Right. And if South Africa doesn't do that, then there is a chance that the United States, the FBI, will recover whatever Bitcoin they can from Johann Steinberg's control.
Of course.
Once they've done that, then they can seize the rest, right? This is what they have done in the past. They're not really concerned about anybody outside the United States. In other words, that South Africans may not get to see any of the Bitcoin. There is that possibility, right?
That is a possibility, especially if South Africa is not party to proceedings in the United States, and if the South African government is not regarded as a victim in these proceedings. And if that is not the case, that could very well be the position.
Well, this is obviously going to be an evolving story, and there's going to be a lot of ground to cover in the coming weeks and months on this. So we're going to leave it there for the moment. Darren Hunnicom, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.